Hello, this is Barbara Ridenour with the Friday edition of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated August 3, 2018. We'll start today's reading on the front page. Downtown shows off changes. A lot has happened in Decatur since last celebration. For some, the Walk Around Decatur celebration is the one time each year they are guaranteed to see the changing retail landscape of downtown Decatur. With that in mind, we did a little walking ourselves this week to take in what has changed since last year. Much to our surprise, there have been quite a few changes, and some of them were still taking shape this week. The 200 block of North Main Street was a hotbed of activity on Tuesday, with Kim Kyle, owner of Made by Me and the authorized FedEx Shipping Center, doing some painting in her new location at 219 North Main, just a couple of doors down from her current location. Her new spot is the former location of All Things Beautiful, which moved next door to 225 North Main in what had been the Julita Productions. Next to them at 233 North Main is a new business, Farmhouse in Main, which features furniture and home decor. There's also some activity in the former Haynes and Essex building at 130 East William Street. Striglos, which used to display a sampling of all the office supplies it offers when the spot was home to the iconic iconic local retailer, has remodeled a portion of the first floor retail space into a showroom for the office furniture it sells. The floor has been redone, but regular visitors will notice some of the slopes and steps that had to be navigated when shopping there previously. Round the corner, back on Main Street, Lewis's Treasures thrift shop is in the process of relocating to 2924 North Martin Luther King Jr. Drive. In the 100 block of North Main, Posh Nails has taken up residence at 111 North Main next to Chinese Tea Garden. Speaking of Chinese Tea Garden, we have made numerous attempts to determine the future of the business, which stopped opening its doors a while back. We looked through the glass many times, judging by the smudges on the glass, others have too, flashed our business card one day to someone who was inside and asked a few questions, though through the closed door, but to no avail. At the other end of the block, the recent first-floor renovations to Heritage Behavioral Health Center are a very noticeable addition. The 100 block of South Main continues to come to life thanks to Main Place Properties' redevelopment of the area with a mix of businesses and upscale upstairs apartments. New to the block since last year's celebration are Taryn Elaine Photography, 170 West Wood Street, and R Bar and Grill, 157 West Main Street. Scheduled to open next month are Dalibless Boutique, 160 West Wood, and Fine and Dandy, 190 West Wood. One retail space remains to be filled, and six apartments will be coming available soon. One downside is the closing of Locals 101 Bar and Grill inside One Main Plaza. The spot along Merchant Street, probably best known for being home to cats, is in the process of being transformed into the new home of Giggles. Passersby are encouraged to look through the openings in the sunglasses painted on the boarded windows to monitor progress. However, there isn't much to see right now. Owner Chrissy Spurlock said much of the current work is taking place downstairs. She did whet our appetite for the new location, noting it will include a bakery where cookies, cupcakes, and other treats can be purchased. Look for that in the fall. Last year, we made the same teasing pitch for a couple of businesses along Prairie Avenue. New to the block are Brass Horn 2 and Penelope Boutique. Nestled in the back of the Hickory Point Bank building is the Blue Brew Coffee Shop. Northwestern Mutual, which used to have an office on the second floor of the office building situated between Merchant and Main, has grown and required a move a couple of blocks away to the old City Hall building at 240 South Main Street. Venturing around Central Park along the two Park Streets, you will notice the new the Art Farm and Liaison Home Automation, and a remodeled First Tech. Gone are Glenn Nordholm Insurance and Victory Pharmacy. Then there is the remodeling project undertaken at Dick Van Dyke Appliance World, 134 North Martin Luther King Jr. Drive. We told you at the outset there are a lot of changes to take in. Grab yourself a drink of your choice and a yummy snack and check them all out, including some new murals, during your celebration walkabout. In transportation, Beltway project resumes. Work delayed about 8 weeks to move utilities. Decatur. Work is set to restart today on the $10 million connector road between Illinois 48 and Brush College Road, which was delayed for about 8 weeks as utilities in the construction path were moved. Barring further setbacks, Macon County Highway Engineer Bruce Bird said the project should be on track to finish by early fall. The only thing it's really going to do is it's just going to delay the opening of the roadway, he said. We're still going to get things done, but it's just going to take a little longer because of the utility delay. Construction on the project, the first part of the long-discussed 22-mile Macon County Beltway, started in May, and a ribbon-cutting ceremony was held June 8th to commemorate the start. Aside from some peripheral work on things such as ditches, Bird said. Pouring pavement and other major components have been put on hold as Ameren Illinois and AT&T Illinois moved their infrastructure. Most of the delay, Bird said, was because AT&T had to move fiber optic lines that run along the east side of Illinois 48. Both companies were contacted in December about the Beltway project to see if the work could be done and not affect road work, Bird said. While he could not speak for either company, Bird said, he was told that the internal miscommunication and getting the necessary materials to move the fiber optic lines caused the delay. Phil Hayes, senior public relations manager for AT&T, said in an email that they expected the company's work to be completed soon. We continue to work as quickly as possible to relocate our equipment on Illinois 48, Route 48, and expect to be completed soon, he said. Ameren Illinois could not immediately be reached for comment. No additional costs are expected from the delay. The cost of the new connector road is covered by a $10 million in state funding awarded to the county in 2014 by former Governor Pat Quinn. Bird said the connector project will likely open in September or early October if there are no further delays. Bird said, despite everyone's best intentions, these delays can happen. On a positive note for him, the connector project is a new road and the delay did not affect traffic. It's not like we have a bridge closed and it's keeping that from opening or it's causing additional delays in traffic, Bird said. It's a new stretch of roadway and we just needed to tide things over. Officials say the new path will ease congestion for freight haulers who now must navigate through an awkward intersection at the end of North Brush College Road. The connector marks the first construction work tied to the proposed Macon County Beltway, in all a 22-mile stretch of road envisioned to allow freight and passenger traffic to loop around the east side of Decatur. The northeastern portion of the Beltway will provide 6.2 miles of four-lane road between Illinois 48 near Interstate 72 and Illinois 105 or William Street Road. The proposed bypass would continue south, widening existing roads as much as possible, and stretch around Mount Zion before connecting with US 51 in Elwyn. The project, in addition to the Brush College Road overpass, project several miles south of the connector, are seen by city, county, business, and economic development leaders as critical to the expansion of Decatur's Midwest Inland Port, a transportation hub that uses the city's vast rail network and nearby highways to move goods throughout the region and the country. While it is an inconvenience, Macon County Board Transportation Committee Chairman Kevin Meacham said that at the end of the day he was pleased work is still expected to be completed before the end of the year. There's no need to hit the panic button, he said. It's not a major delay by no means, but Any delay, everybody gets a little nervous, but this is normal in construction. In Decatur business, new tenants sought for Fairview Plaza. Management confident Kroger Convey vacancies will be filled. Management of the Fairview Plaza complex, which is losing two major tenants in Kroger and Convey Health Incorporated, said it is taking the situation in stride. Kroger announced Thursday that the store at 1401 West King Street would close at the end of August, saying the store was no longer profitable. It said its human resources department would work with the 95 employees to prepare for the transition and to try and find them positions at other Decatur Kroger stores, which are located in Brentwood Village on the city's north side, Airport Plaza on the city's east side, and South Shores Plaza. It's the second bit of bad news for the Fairview Plaza Shopping Center this week. Documents obtained by the Herald and Review revealed plans by Convey Health Solutions Incorporated to close its call center there by the end of September. That announcement affects 150 employees. In a larger story about Kroger on page A4, this is all we knew. Shoppers at Kroger closure will hurt West Side residents. Shoppers say Kroger closure will hurt West Side residents. Shoppers at the Fairview Plaza Kroger on Thursday reacted with surprise, dismay, and sadness to the news that the store would close at the end of August. "This is a very sad day for the community," said Cynthia Farrington, a longtime West End resident who was at the store Thursday. "It really is." The company cited a lack of profitability at the store at 1401 West King Street and said it would work to place as many of the 95 employees as possible with other stores in Decatur. Those include locations in South Shores, Brentwood Plaza, and Airport Plaza on the city's east side. "We understand and appreciate the passion for all our stores," company spokesman Eric Halverson said in an email. "We hope shoppers on West King Street will transfer their loyalty to the other nearby Kroger stores. But some customers say they depend heavily on the convenience, friendly staff, and wide selection available at the West Side location. The Fairview Plaza store is also about half a mile from Millikan University campus, making it the go-to grocery supplier for students without cars." Farrington described the news as devastating, citing the effect on those students and others without transportation who would be left without easy access to a grocery store. "Decatur is becoming a ghost town," she said as she snapped a photo of the closing sign on the Kroger doors. Farrington said that she's noticed how Decatur's resale landscape has changed over the years. Stores like Schnucks, Kmart, Kay's Merchandise, and Venture have come and gone, she said. "But the Fairview Kroger has always been a mainstay in her life." She said she considered the employees like family. A frequent shopper there, Farrington said that she never felt like it was struggling, as its parent company indicated, because it always seemed busy. Millikan University student Tom Imola just graduated with his bachelor's degree in May and is beginning his studies toward a master's in business administration next week. He, too, is surprised to hear the Fairview Kroger isn't profitable because it's a busy place. "Myself and a lot of my peers are always using that Kroger. It's the closest place," Imola said. "It's kind of unfortunate that if I want to get groceries, I have to go somewhere else." The next closest store is the Save-A-Lot on Grand Avenue, but walking there and walking back with bags would be a daunting prospect, he said. Some on social media vowed to lobby the company to reverse its decision. One of those was Rochelle Boleen, who said that she reached out to Kroger Company and filed a complaint in hopes of keeping the store open. Boleen lives about half a block away from the Fairview Plaza and said that losing the Kroger store would hurt West Side residents, especially those with disabilities. If she doesn't get a response from the Kroger corporate office, Boleen said she'll keep calling. If that doesn't work, she'll consider starting a Facebook petition. Boleyn said she'd also be willing to organize a protest in front of the store and have people sign petitions that way. While she wouldn't mind taking her business to other stores, like Kroger and South Shores or Save-A-Lot at the Pine Shopping Center, Boleyn said that she's truly passionate about keeping Kroger in the West End. She said she'll do anything to get corporate to understand how important the store is to her neighborhood. I wouldn't care if they moved the store out of Fairview Plaza and into a new building around here, Boleyn said. I'd be okay with that. That store is all that we've got. A West Side Decatur resident for 65 years, Teresa Johnson remembers the area always having a local grocery store. The idea of not having a nearby store angered her. This is all we knew, Johnson said. She recalls her father's trips to the store and the personal care he received. All the checkers knew him by name, she said. Johnson learned about the store closing after she was done shopping for the day. She said she will have to find another location to purchase her food as well as her medications. Other pharmacies are too high in price, she said. The ladies here, they work with you. I don't know if we'll get that service again. Jill Jones works providing transportation for residents of Belvedere Center Plaza on Wood Street, which houses income-eligible seniors and people with disabilities. She was shocked to find out about the closing while waiting for one of the residents to return from his shopping. She often drives residents to the Fairview Plaza store and now will likely take them to the South Shores, she said. Jones said she gets upset for the Belvedere residents as well as others who count on the West Side store, including those dropped off by city buses. This is the more convenient store for all of them, she said. If they miss the bus, some of them can walk home from here. They can't walk it across the lake or airport road. There could be a silver lining to the closure for Tanzania Jones, who works at the Dollar Tree next door. She's hoping the closing of the grocery store will add to her business. Our sales are now high, she said. With Kroger closing down, we may be busier. She said she hoped the store would add freezer and refrigerator sections to keep the Kroger customers coming to that area. We don't have them now, she said. The Kroger closure for this is the second bit of bad news for the Fairview Plaza Shopping Center this week. Convey Health Solutions Incorporated announced plans to close its call center in Fairview Plaza by the end of September, affecting 150 employees. Farrington said that the two losses back-to-back make her worried about the future of the city's economy. She's hopeful that it will make a turn for the better, but she's not sure how or when that would happen. Now, one thing for certain, Farrington said, changing the city's fortunes is a group effort involving both city and state officials and residents. It can change if people sit down together, she said. Instead of saying what they don't want to see here, we should say, let's have this here, because this is going to benefit us all. In state and local news on page A3, Tex-Mex Bar and Grill to open. Castro's to cater to college crowd on city's West End. Decatur's West End will have a Mexican restaurant with authentic cuisine to call its own when Castro's Tex-Mex Grill opens at 130 South Oakland Avenue. Jason Castro, 21, plans to open his business in early fall, shortly after the Millikan University students return to campus for the fall semester. We want to get the buzz going around once they get back, he said. This is the demographic we're trying to cater to. Castro and his business partner, Rogelio Rojas, said that the Oakland Wood area is ideal for their restaurant. It is a great, nice campus, Castro said. Everything is in walking distance. It will be convenient for everyone. The restaurant will open at 11 a.m. and remain available late nights for hungry customers, midnight on weekdays, and 2 a.m. on weekends. Rojas will be the primary chef, specializing in authentic Tex-Mex and Mexican dishes. Specialty items include burritos, fajitas, gorditas, and nachos. They will also serve a variety of tacos. There are all kinds of flavors, from steak to chicken to al pastor, marinated pork, Castro said. We have the also have the delicacies like the tongue and the stomach and grilled cactus. The restaurant will also serve alcohol and other beverages, including margaritas. Mexican desserts will be a feature on the menu, such as churros, fried ice cream, and sopapillas. Future plans include homemade Mexican pastries, such as pan dulce, Mexican pastry. Castro's will be in the building that recently was home to frozen yogurt shop Cherry Berry. The decor has been updated to cater to the atmosphere of a college crowd and their families. Staff, for example, will dress in college sports attire. The prices are college kid friendly, Castro said. Rojas has experience in the restaurant business. He's been the owner of Taqueria La Perlita on the corner of El Dorado and 22nd Streets for 4 years. After researching expansion possibilities, he met Castro. Both were excited to open a business in Decatur's West End in the Oakwood area. "We are a really real Mexican restaurant," Rojas said. "We make everything handmade and fresh." Promotional events will introduce Castro's to the neighborhood, and staff will be involved in community activities, the owner said. They said customers can keep up with their plans at their Facebook page. The owners recommend customers visit the Castro's Tex-Mex Grill Facebook page for events and specials, as well as their opening date. "Since I'm a millennial and part of the younger generation, I will really be active on social media," Castro said. "I will be out there trying to engage with them, the students, and the community in general," he said. 17. Reap rewards from year-long effort. Contestants win prizes for wearing celebration wristbands. Crystal Sturgeon of Decatur walked away from Central Park $1,000 richer on Thursday evening. Sturgeon was one of 17 people who participated in the Land of Lincoln Credit Union 365, a year-long contest presented by NowDecatur.com. 20 contestants were in the running at the start of the year, but 3 didn't make it to the finish line. The rules were fairly simple. Contestants were challenged to wear their 2017 Decatur Celebration wristbands from the end of last year's festival to the start of this year's. A raffle determined which of the contestants would be walking away with the grand prize. "When I take the wristband off, I'm going to feel naked," Sturgeon said. "It's going to be weird not to have it there, and to feel it, not to have it stay wet 4 hours after a shower." The celebration, in its 33rd year in Decatur, kicks off Friday evening with an opening ceremony and performances by country artists Jesse G. and Gretchen Wilson. Other scheduled main stage performers include Grammy-winning rapper T.I. on Saturday and platinum-selling rock band Daughtry on Sunday. In addition to the cash prize, Sturgeon also received a celebration VIP prize package valued at $400. The 16 other contestants didn't go empty-handed. They received 2 VIP pit passes and a parking pass to this year's event. Sturgeon already has an idea of what she and her family will do with the prize money. "I imagine the celebration's going to get a few hundred of it back just because I love it so much," she said, "and it's going toward our Walt Disney World vacation this December." Sturgeon said it felt good to stick with the competition for a whole year, not only because of the opportunity to win prizes, but also because it was a neat way to promote the celebration and all that it does within the community. "I love being able to talk to people about celebration," she said. "There's so much negativity around it, and I just want to push the positivity about it. It was awesome," she said. Sneaker robbery suspect tracked down in Decatur. Police traced the teenager through online interactions. Decatur. Police said that they have found one of the teenage suspects being sought in connection with an incident in which a person was robbed after setting up an online Facebook deal to sell expensive sneakers. Detective Sergeant Steve Carroll said with the Decatur police said a 15-year-old Decatur boy was located Wednesday who was wanted in connection with a Sunday afternoon robbery in the 1000 block of East Johns Avenue. Juvenile Division detectives got a hold of the kid's suspect's mom, and she's going to bring him up for an interview, Carroll said Thursday. He said computer experts at the police department traced the teen through online interactions. Asked if police would be talking to him about other similar crimes, Carroll said, I would think so, yes. Police said that in the Sunday robbery, a 16-year-old seller of the shoes was robbed of cash after a teenager posing as a buyer asked him to make change. The seller had been lured to the East Johns Avenue location after arranging a deal to sell Air Jordan sneakers via Facebook messages, police said. The robbery came barely 24 hours after a similar incident Saturday afternoon involving a 19-year-old victim. On that occasion, the seller had arranged to sell two pairs of Air Jordan shoes with the buyer he met near Garfield Montessori School at 300 Meadow Terrace Place. While the seller was showing the shoes to the teenage buyer, another teen appeared and threatened him with a handgun, and then both robbers grabbed the shoes and fled, police said. Police have urged sellers to make a rendezvous with potential buyers in deals arranged on the internet to meet at a safe place, the Decatur Police Department headquarters at 707 West South Side Drive has a sign outside marking it as an e-commerce space with a lobby that is under constant video surveillance. If you are dealing with somebody who doesn't want to meet you there, then tell them, well, I'm not selling you my shoes then, Carroll said. In area briefs, Decatur man faces weapons charges. Police said a Decatur man on parole for an armed violence conviction now faces new preliminary weapons charges after a traffic stop Wednesday afternoon. A sworn affidavit from Decatur police officer Briar Weddle said that he found a loaded .40-caliber handgun in the trunk of the 39-year-old man's car. Weddle said he also found a plastic bag in the vehicle filled with 90 pills the man identified as ecstasy. The affidavit said the man was booked on a charge of being an armed habitual criminal and possession of a weapon by a felon. Preliminary charges are subject to review by the Macon County State's Attorney's Office. The affidavit did not list any drug possession charges, but Detective Sergeant Steve Carroll said Thursday that reports on the incident are still being compiled. In the affidavit, Weddle said he had been on patrol and had pulled the man's car over after it disobeyed a stop sign at North Church Street and West Johnson Avenue. He said the man admitted ownership of the pills but denied owning the gun. Battered baby released from the hospital. A Taylorville infant who suffered a fractured skull and other severe injuries after police said he was beaten by his father is now out of the hospital and in protective custody. Taylorville Police Chief Brian Heil said Thursday that he understands the baby was released from the hospital the latter part of last week. We do not know any long-term prognosis for the baby yet, Heil said. Police said the infant suffered brain swelling and other severe trauma at the hands of his father, 30-year-old Chad Johnson, on July 6th. Johnson appeared in Christian County Circuit Court on July 9th on a charge of aggravated battery causing permanent disability to a child under 13, a Class X felony. Court documents do not show a plea has been entered by Johnson, but his defense counsel has requested a trial date in November. He remains in Christian County Jail in lieu of $750,000 bond. Vehicle entries sought for Cruise 11. The 10th annual Cruise 11 to Remember 9/11 event will be Sunday, September 9th in Central Park. The event's theme is Honor Our Heroes to Benefit Our Patriots, and annually raises money for Help for Heroes, the Macon County Veterans Assistance Commission program to assist veterans with expenses. All vehicles are encouraged to participate in the car motorcycle show. The entry fee is $11 and all proceeds go to Help for Heroes. Show parking and registration will begin at 8 a.m. on the west side of the park. Food will be available on the south side of the park and the band Pizzazz will entertain beginning at noon. For more information, email aynproductions@yahoo.com or visit Cruise 11 Facebook page. We'll take a short break now and come back with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review dated August 3rd, 2018. Please stay tuned.